Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 12, The Killing of the Demon Agasura. So this is the perfection of human life to glorify the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and the association of devotees in a sacred place. These temples founded by Srila Prabhupada are sacred places. We're here in the association of Srila Prabhupada, the association of Sri Sri Rukmini and Dwarkadish. So it's very auspicious to glorify the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a situation, especially coming up to Janmashtami, the celebration of the Lord's appearance. Janma karma chane divyam evam yoveti tatvataha taktva deham punarjama naiti mameti suarjana. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says his pastimes are transcendental, divine. One should try to understand them properly in the association of devotees. So we're trying to do that. And we're reading today from Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam. We could have read this from the Krishna book, but I'm choosing to read it from Srimad Bhagavatam because these were some of the last translations and purports that Srila Prabhupada gave on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in 1977, his last year with us on this planet. So right to the very end of his life, he was showing the supreme example by glorifying the pastimes of the Personality of Godhead by giving his Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada translations and purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he did this in Vrindavan during his very last days. So I'll read the translations. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "O King, one day Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. Having risen early in the morning, he blew his bugle made of horn and woke up all the cowherd boys and calves with its beautiful sound. Then Krishna and the boys, keeping their respective groups of calves before them, proceeded from Vrajabhumi to the forest. At that time, hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys came out of their respective homes in Vrajabhumi and joined Krishna, keeping before them their hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. The boys were very beautiful, and they were equipped with lunch bags, bugles, flutes, and sticks for controlling the calves. Along with the cowherd boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit." So when, some people hear about unlimited numbers of calves and cows or unlimited numbers of servants, they question. Their limited material minds cannot conceive of such vast numbers on this planet. So Srila Prabhupada addresses this point in this purport. In this verse, the words Krishna Vatsyaya Asankhyatai are significant. The word Asankhyata means unlimited. Krishna's calves were unlimited. We may speak of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, trillions, tens of trillions, and so on. But when we go further to speak of numbers impossible for us to count, we are speaking of unlimited numbers. Such unlimited numbers are indicated here by the word asankhyatahai. Krishna is unlimited. His potency is unlimited. His cows and calves are unlimited, and his space is unlimited. Therefore, he is described in Bhagavad Gita as Param Brahma. The word Brahman means unlimited, and Krishna is the supreme unlimited, Para Brahman. Therefore, we should not consider the statements of this verse to be mythological. You know, that's the tendency in the modern age, to consider these things mythological. So Srila Prabhupada continues, they are factual, but inconceivable. Krishna can accommodate an unlimited number of calves and an unlimited measurement of space. This is neither mythological nor false. But if we study Krishna's potency with our limited knowledge, that potency will never be possible to understand. Atat Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Grayam Indrayai. That's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.109. Our senses cannot perceive how he could keep an unlimited number of calves and cows and have unlimited space in which to do so. But this is answered in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Evam prabha priyanam cha damnas cha samayasya cha avichintya prabhavatvat atra kinchin nadurgatam. Sri Sanatan Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita states that since everything about Krishna is unlimited, nothing is impossible for him. It is in this sense we have to understand this verse. So, we have to keep in mind this concept of achintya, the inconceivable, when we are considering Krishna and his pastimes and associates and his abode. You know, for example, Srila Prabhupada states in other purports, citing Vedic evidence, that the Vrajabhumi, the land of Vrindavan, may appear to be, you know, within a certain limited space, you know, in northern India. But just within one corner of that Vrindavan, all the universes, all the material universes are contained. So there are very inconceivable manifestations of space and time, you know, within Vrajabhumi and in Krishna's presence. May appear to be within a limited space, but actually he carries with him his unlimited space, in which it's possible for him to have an unlimited, uncountable number of cows. So, continuing with Srila Prabhupada's translations. Although all these boys were already decorated by their mothers with ornaments of kacha, gunja, pearls, and gold, when they went into the forest, they further decorated themselves with fruits, green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers, and soft minerals. All the cowherd boys used to steal one another's lunch bags. When a boy came to understand that his bag had been taken away, the other boys would throw it further away to a more distant place, and those standing there would throw it still further. When the proprietor of the bag became disappointed, the other boys would laugh, and the proprietor would cry, and then the bag would be returned. (Laughter) Don't anybody get any ideas? But these kinds of sporting affairs do take place among the devotees in a joking spirit. In a joking spirit. These are, our activities here are reflections of eternal spiritual pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, this kind of playing and stealing among boys still exists even within the material world, because this kind of sporting pleasure is present in the spiritual world from which this idea of enjoyment emanates. Janmadyasya yataha, Vedanta Sutra 112. This same enjoyment is displayed by Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world, because there the enjoyment is eternal, whereas on the material platform it is temporary. There the enjoyment is Brahman, where here the enjoyment is Jada. Jada means ignorance. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to train one how to transfer oneself from this Jada to the Brahman, because human life is meant for this purpose. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, Vedanta Sutra 111. Krishna comes down to teach us how we can enjoy with him on the spiritual platform, in the spiritual world. Not only does he come, but he personally displays his pastimes in Vrindavan and attracts people to spiritual enjoyment. Translations continue. Sometimes Krishna would go to a somewhat distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would run to accompany him, each one saying, I shall be the first one to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first. In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. So this is an example of transcendental competition. In the material world, competition is full of envy. But this is blissful competition among Krishna's cowherd boyfriends. The translation continues. All the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes, and others blew bugles made of horn. Some imitated the buzzing of bumblebees, and others imitated the voice of the cuckoo. Some boys imitated flying birds by running after the birds' shadows on the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks, sitting silently. Others imitated the dancing of peacocks. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. Some jumped in the trees, imitating the monkeys. Some made faces, as the monkeys were accustomed to do, and others jumped from one branch to another. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the rivers, jumping with the frogs. And when they saw their own reflections on the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the supreme personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? So I'm not going to read all of the purports in order to get through the pastime of Agasura, but Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, these pastimes and are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says, for Vaishnavas who are somewhat advanced, or who are fully aware of the glories and potencies of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam is a beloved Vedic literature. After all, we have to change this body, tatadehantara prapti. If we do not care about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we do not know what the next body will be. But if one adheres to these two books, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one is sure to obtain the association of Krishna in the next life. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sarjana. Therefore, distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world is a great welfare activity for theologians, philosophers, transcendentalists, and yogis, yoginam api sarvesham, as well as for people in general. So, very important instruction by Srila Prabhupada as he was translating the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. Translation continues. Yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births by practicing yama, niyama, asana, and pranayama, none of which are easily performed. Yet in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they will still be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then can we describe about the great fortune of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, Vrindavan, with whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally lived and who saw the Lord face to face? My dear King Parikshit, this is Sukadeva Goswami speaking, therefore there appeared a great demon named Agasura, whose death was being awaited, even by the demigods. The demigods drank nectar every day, but they still feared this great demon and awaited his death. This demon could not tolerate the great transcendental pleasure being enjoyed in the forest by the cowherd boys. So purport. So this demon, he's going to interrupt, you know, these pastimes of the cowherd boys. He was very envious, so he was going to do something. So purport. One may ask how Krishna's pastimes could be interrupted by a demon. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers this question by saying that although the transcendental pleasure being enjoyed by the cowherd boys could not be stopped unless they stopped the transcendental pleasure of the various activities, they could not eat their lunch. So although they're having a lot of fun playing with Krishna, there's another pastime, eating their lunch. Yeah, so therefore, Srila Prabhupada continues in his purport, therefore, at lunchtime, Agasura appeared by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, so that for the time being, they could stop their activities and take lunch. Changing varieties are the mother of enjoyment. So, at a certain time, the class is going to have to stop so we can take prasadam. The cowherd boys would continuously play, then stop, then again enjoy in a different way. Therefore, every day, a demon would come and interrupt their sporting pastimes. The demon would be killed, and then the boys would again engage in their transcendental pastimes. Translations continue. Agasura, who had been sent by Kamsa, was the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura. Therefore, when he came and saw Krishna at the head of all the cowherd boys, he thought, "This Krishna has killed my sister and brother, Putana and Bakasura. Therefore, in order to please them both, I shall kill this Krishna along with his assistants, the other cowherd boys." Agasura thought, "If somehow or other I can make Krishna and his associates serve as the last offering of sesame and water for the departed souls of my brother and sister, Then the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, for whom these boys are the life and soul, will automatically die. If there is no life, there is no need for the body. Consequently, when their sons are dead, naturally, all the inhabitants of Vraja would die. After thus deciding, that crooked Agasura assumed the form of a huge python as thick as a big mountain and as long as 8 miles. Having assumed this wonderful python's body, he spread his mouth like a cave in the mountains and lay down on the road, expecting to swallow Krishna and his associates, the cowherd boys. His lower lip rested on the surface of the earth, and his upper lip was touching the clouds in the sky. The borders of his mouth resembled the sides of a big cave in a mountain, and in the middle his mouth was as dark as possible. His tongue resembled a broad traffic way. His breath was like a warm wind, and his eyes blazed like fire. It's like the San Diego freeway rush hour. Upon seeing this demon's wonderful form, which resembled a great python, the boys thought that it must be a beautiful scenic spot of Vrindavan, kind of like at Disney World or something. Therefore, they imagined it to be similar to the mouth of a great python. In other words, the boys, unafraid, thought it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. The boy said, "Dear friends, is this creature dead, or is it actually a living python with its mouth spread wide just to swallow us all? Kindly clear up this doubt." Therefore, they decided, "Dear friends, this is certainly an animal sitting here to swallow us all. The upper lip resembles a cloud reddened by the sunshine, and its lower lip resembles the reddish shadows of a cloud. On the left and right, the two depressions resembling mountain caves are the corners of its mouth, and the high mountain peaks are its teeth. In length and breadth, the animal's tongue resembles a broad traffic way, and the inside of its mouth is very, very dark, like a cave and a mountain. The hot, fiery wind is the breath coming out of its mouth, which is giving off the bad smell of burning flesh because of all the dead bodies he has eaten." Then the boy said, "Has this living creature come to swallow us? If he does so, he will be immediately killed like Bakasura without delay." Thus they looked at the beautiful face of Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura, and laughing loudly and clapping their hands, they entered into the mouth of the python. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is situated as Antaryami, the Supersoul, in the core of everyone's heart, heard the boys talking among themselves about the artificial python. Unknown to them, it was actually Agasura, a demon who had appeared as a python. Krishna, knowing this, wanted to forbid his associates to enter into the demon's mouth. Like I said, they thought it was like a display at Disneyland or something, you know, some big statue of a demon. But Krishna understood the real situation. In the meantime, while Krishna was considering how to stop them, all the cowherd boys entered the mouth of the demon. The demon, however, did not swallow them, for he was thinking of his own relatives who had been killed by Krishna and was just waiting for Krishna to enter his mouth before he... Krishna saw that all the cowherd boys who did not know anyone but him as their lord had now gone out of his hand and were helpless, having entered like straws into the fire of the abdomen of Agasura, who was death personified. It was intolerable for Krishna to be separated from his friends, the cowherd boys. Therefore, as if seeing that this had been arranged by his internal potency, Krishna was momentarily struck with wonder and unsure of what to do. Now, what was to be done? How could both the killing of this demon and the saving of the devotees be performed simultaneously? Krishna, being unlimitedly potent, decided to wait for an intelligent means by which he could simultaneously save the boys and kill the demon. Thus, he entered the mouth of Agasura. When Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, the demigods, hidden behind the clouds, exclaimed, "Alas! Alas!" But the friends of Agasura, like Kamsa and other demons, were jubilant. Now we finally got this Krishna who's given us so many problems. When the invincible Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, heard the demigods crying, "Alas! Alas!" from behind the clouds, he immediately enlarged himself within the demon's throat just to save himself and the cowherd boys, his own associates, from the demon who wished to smash them. Thus, because Krishna had increased the size of his body, the demon extended his own body to a very large size. Nonetheless, his breathing stopped. He suffocated, and his eyes rolled here and there and popped out. The demon's life air, however, could not pass through any outlet, and therefore it finally burst out through a hole in the top of the demon's head. When all the demon's life air had passed away through that hole in the top of his head, Krishna glanced over the dead calves and cowherd boys and brought them back to life. Then Mukunda, who can give liberation, came out from the demon's mouth with his friends and calves. So actually they had been put into a lifeless state within the abdomen of the demon Agasura, and Krishna brought them back to life. From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgence came out, illuminating all directions, and stayed individually in the sky until Krishna came out from the corpse's mouth. Then, as all the demigods looked on, this effulgence merged into Krishna's body. So, this requires some explanation. Srila Prabhupada offers a long purport here. I'll read as much as I can in the time remaining. Apparently, the serpent named Agasura, because of having received association with Krishna, attained mukti by entering Krishna's body. Entering the body of Krishna is called Sayujya Mukti, but later verses prove that Agasura, like Dantavakra and others, received Sarupya Mukti. That means getting the same form as Krishna. This has been broadly described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with references from the Vaishnava Toshani of Srila Jiva Goswami. Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti, being promoted to the Vaikuntha planets to live with the same four-arm bodily features as Vishnu. The explanation of how this is so may be understood as follows. So it's amazing that this demon got liberation into the Vaikuntha planets and attained a four-arm bodily form like the residents there. So how could this happen? Srila Prabhupada explains. The effulgence came out from the python's body and became purified, attaining spiritual shuddha-sattva, freedom from material contamination, because Krishna had stayed within the serpent's body even after the serpent's death. One may doubt that such a demon, full of mischievous activities, could attain the liberation of Sarupya, or Sayuja, and one may be astonished about this, but Krishna is so kind that in order to drive away such doubts, he had the effulgence, the individual life of the python, wait for some time in its individuality in the presence of all the demigods. Krishna is the full effulgence, and every living being is part and parcel of that effulgence. As proved here, the effulgence in every living being is individual. For some time, the effulgence remained outside the demon's body, individually, and did not mix with the whole effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahman effulgence is not visible to material eyes, but to prove that every living being is individual, Krishna had this individual effulgence stay outside the demon's body for some time for everyone to see. Then Krishna proved that anyone killed by him attains liberation, whether Sayujya, Sarupya, Samipya, or whatever. So, I'll continue with the translations now. Therefore, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from Nanda Kanana. The celestial dancing girls began to dance, and the Gandharvas, who are famous for singing, offered songs of prayer. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums, and the Brahmins offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heavens and on earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a long purport here. I'll read part of it to give you a sense of what it's about. Purport. Everyone has some particular duty. The Shastra has concluded, Nirupitaha, that everyone should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his own qualifications. If you are a singer, always glorify the Supreme Lord by singing very nicely. If you are a musician, glorify the Supreme Lord by playing musical instruments. Svanushta tasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam. Bhagavatam 1.2.13. The perfection of life is to satisfy the personality of Godhead. So everyone has some particular talent or ability, and this should be used for the glorification of the personality of Godhead. Continuing the translations, when Lord Brahma heard the wonderful ceremony going on near his planet, accompanied by music and songs and sounds of jai, jai, he immediately came down to see the function. Upon seeing so much glorification of Lord Krishna, he was completely astonished. O King Parikshit, when the python-shaped body of Agasura dried up into merely a big skin, it became a wonderful place for the inhabitants of Vrindavan to visit, and it remained for a long, long time. This incident of Krishna saving himself and his associates from death and of giving deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Vrajabhumi after 1 year, as if it had taken place on that very day. Krishna is the cause of all causes, and The causes and effects of the material world, both higher and lower, are all created by this Supreme Lord, the original controller. When Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, he did so by his causeless mercy. Consequently, for him to exhibit his unlimited opulences was not at all wonderful. Indeed, he showed such great mercy that even Agasura, the most sinful miscreant, was elevated to being one of his associates and achieving Sarupya Mukti, which is actually impossible for materially contaminated persons to attain. If Only if even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed? Srila Sutta Goswami said, O learned saints, the childhood pastimes of Sri Krishna are very wonderful. Maharaj Parikshit, after hearing about those pastimes of Krishna, who had saved him in the womb of his mother, became steady in his mind and again inquired from Sukadeva Goswami to hear about these pious activities. Maharaj Parikshit inquired, O great sage, how could things done in the past have been described as being done at the present? So what this is about is there's a reason why these pastimes weren't disclosed until a year after they happened. And that will take us into another pastime of Krishna, because the cowherd boys were all stolen by Lord Brahma for a year, you know, right after this event. So they didn't go home until after really a year. And during that time when they were gone, Krishna replaced them with replacement cowherd boys. And he expanded himself as the cowherd boys. So these events weren't revealed until a year later. So that brings us to the end of Srila Prabhupada's explanation of these, the pastime of the killing of the Agasura demon. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.